This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Fast Track brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. John, one side of the coin, KD wins the argument. Other side of the coin, it's that troll Rappaport. Call it in the air.
I don't think KD can win. Tails.
Tails it is.
Tails it is.
All right, I will go first, Mace. No advantage comes with
none
that.
None whatsoever.
All right, here we go. Michael Strahan did something this week that surprised a lot of people.
Yes.
He got rid of the trademark gap in his front teeth.
Yeah.
Strahan says a lot of people tried to talk him out of doing that, but it's something he's always wanted to do, so he finally did it. His smile is perfect now, and his teeth look completely normal. Mace, in your opinion, good idea or bad idea for Strahan to close his trademark gap in his teeth?
Well, I would never tell somebody what to do with their own body, their own appearance, all that stuff. I will just tell you, if it was me, and I had achieved all that Michael Strahan has achieved both in football and in broadcasting, that would be my trademark. That would be my trademark. I mean, David Letterman never got his teeth fixed. Barbara Streisand never got her nose done. Anthony Davis hasn't shaved his brow off. I mean, to me, it's a trademark. It's something he was known for. It's something that sets him apart. So if it was me, I wouldn't have done it.
You know what I always say in situations like this? You be you. If you want to fix your teeth, fix your teeth. If you want to get a...
Yeah, but if it was you, we're not telling Michael Strahan what to do, but if it was you, would you have had it done?
Probably.
You probably would have.
It probably would have bothered me enough where I would have got it fixed.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not... It's not me.
Wouldn't you say the fact that he did it, though, it bothered him enough to get it done?
Oh, right. Sure. It had to have bothered him.
And hey, man, you never know what
whatever
mentally
makes you happy.
Somebody's right. You never know what mentally someone is focusing on. You be you. If you're going to feel better about yourself, if you have straight teeth, go ahead and fix your teeth. I'm surprised so many people, Mace, have your position of, I wouldn't have done it. I can't
believe you
did it.
Wait a minute. Yeah, if it was me, I'm not telling Michael Strahan, but if it was me, I wouldn't have done it. I mean,
yeah.
John, there's a very simple story about this. I was told by some big-time agent very early in my career that if I got a nose job, she could really help me. And I'm like, screw you. You're fired. I'm not getting a nose job. This is my nose. Take it or leave it. And she was done. I mean,
okay, but what's interesting about that is for a lot of years, you colored your hair.
Correct.
What's the difference?
Nothing really. No difference really. I did color my hair. I eventually grew out of it, thankfully.
Right. But I'm just saying,
by the way, a very young age to let your hair go white.
But no, what I'm saying, she was saying, I think this would improve you cosmetically. You were saying, I think gray hair would hinder me, so
yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, it's just an opinion. I mean, she just wanted you to do it. But
yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. She's got a really big nose. I was looking at her saying, hello, kettle.
Well, yeah, maybe she knows. The
yeah,
nose knows.
Knows.
Right. No, I think Michael Strahan, you be you. If you feel better, go for it.
Yeah.
It's weird. You.
It's weird. All right, John Ireland, I was doing some calculations today about Game of Games. We have done Game of Games for 10 months.
Okay.
Yesterday, Lindsay snapped your winning
yeah.
streak, your eight-month winning streak,
by
the way, winning
I
the
have,
month of
I
March.
Question these statistics. I thought Lindsay won the first two
yeah.
months.
And
she
I
did.
Won,
she won twice.
Won, like,
and then
so
you
if
won.
We played 10, if we played 10, I couldn't have won eight.
Let's
I must,
see.
It must be 7-3.
No, it's 8-2.
No, Lindsay won the
that
first
was that,
two.
That was Lindsay. Oh, that,
I won
you're
two
right.
Months,
that
for
was
sure.
Lindsay's third month. So it's 8-3.
7-3.
So here's my question. I am the smartest guy here. I mean, in all humility, I'm
right.
the smartest guy here.
Right.
Like, I would be the one that would go on Jeopardy and win something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah.
Why do I do so badly at these games?
I don't think you care.
That is true.
I think I'm hopeless. Michael will tell you this. Michael, have you ever, maybe Hartman, who you used to work with, but other than Hartman, have you ever met anyone other than me that has more useless knowledge in his head?
No, you and him are definitely one and two in this market, no question about it.
It was me versus Ireland in an actual round of Jeopardy. Michael, who would you take?
You know, you have a chance, Mace, because you don't. Your problem is you don't think fast on your feet. You have the information, but you don't get it out as quickly as Ireland does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Mace, you would have more general knowledge than me. It would obviously depend on what the categories are. I have more pop culture knowledge than you.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I host the Culture Pop podcast.
Yeah, but Mace, you don't know anything about the Kardashians. You don't know anything about...
You don't know anything about the movie Minari. You don't know anything America.
You've got me, but anything that's in like People magazine or in Us magazine or in a tabloid.
Anything
or
that's in Star Wars or in Marvel.
So then, movies.
So if the Double Jeopardy category was movies, you'd bet it all, Mace?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, bet it all.
I would bet it all. On Mason, but Mace, if the category was if the category was People magazine, who would win? How many times have I had to explain to you?
You would win for sure, John.
Yeah, you would win that. I mean, so it depends. But Jeopardy would never slum to that
so
level.
This is why I think
the category is gossip.
Yeah, gossip. I would destroy everything.
Yeah, no, gossip. John is that's his.
That's
yeah,
my.
Agent
that's like
gossip.
My favorite thing. Yeah. But Mace, here's what I think it is.
That
I think
is
Lindsay.
Kravitz.
I think Lindsay and I are. It's a combination of two things. Lindsay and I are both almost incontrollably competitive.
Yes.
You're not. And so we care about winning, and you could kind of care less about that game.
IDGAF.
Yeah, right. So that's why.
The only category George would win would probably be in Mexican cuisine.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Ray Morales, there's your promo.
Thanks, Michael.
That's almost as bad as when John asked about the climate in how things are with COVID in Mexico. And he said, you know about that, Jorge?
Hey, man. How's the COVID in Mexico?
I got the receipts, guys. I'm just saying.
Are you scoring at home? All right. Ireland, just see you.
Okay. For this story, and everybody can play, Michael, Jorge, all you guys. Pretend you're a wanted man, that you're on the run from the law. What would you do, and maybe more importantly, what wouldn't you do? After 7 years on the run, Italian mafia fugitive Mark Byart was tracked down because he hosted a YouTube cooking channel show he started with his wife.
That's unreal.
Though he carefully hid his face during the videos, Byart failed to disguise a distinctive giveaway, his body tattoos. He had been wanted for allegedly trafficking cocaine from the Netherlands since 2014, police said. Byart, 53, had been living in the Dominican Republic for the past 5 years, and police said he'd be keeping a low profile during his stay in the Caribbean, except for the cooking videos he posted to the internet. So this idiot basically got caught because he couldn't stand not being a YouTube star.
Yeah.
So, Mace, you're first. If you had to go into the witness protection program, you had to hide.
Hide from the
where
law.
Where would you go? What would you do?
Well, obviously, I'm going to reveal something deeply personal here.
Okay.
Because Juan and I have decided that if anything ever happens and we need to escape the country, that we will meet in a place called Casciana Terme in Italy. Which is a very small town. Now we have to find a different effing town. Because now they know to look for me there.
Yeah, Juan's going to be mad at you.
He is. We're going to have to find a new town to hook up in.
Go to Nassau. Nobody will care.
Is that right? Nassau
is? Yeah, we'll
right,
walk
there away. Are very few rules in the Bahamas,
exactly.
Correct?
That's right.
Nice. So I would – the money thing is interesting. You know, I've been weirdly thinking about – well, you know, I've got Bitcoin. I'm fine.
Oh, okay. So, Lindsay, where would you go? What would you do?
I would probably go to Hawaii and just be one of those native Hawaiian land people that live off of bananas and pineapples.
Well, if you were the other day you were talking about taking the road to Hana. If you go to Hana, no one will make that drive, so you'll be fine. Nobody wants to drive 7 hours on the road to Hana to find anybody. You could stay over there forever. Michael, would you go back to the Bahamas?
No, I would hide in plain sight, keep a low profile.
You'd be the color analyst for the Lakers on the radio.
Everybody in the Bahamas knows me, so I couldn't hide there, but I'd hide in plain sight, keep my head down, keep a low profile. I'd be a farmer in Iowa.
Farmer in Iowa.
Yeah. Well, a 7-foot black farmer in Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, think about it, though. Think about it. The FBI wouldn't think about looking for me there.
Why in Iowa?
Right?
Yeah. Right. Jorge, how about you?
Oh, it's easy. I'll go to Mexico, and I'll be cooking for everybody.
There you go. Nice. And you can have your own YouTube cooking
channel. That's right, man.
Fiesta.
Tamales, whatever you want, man. Tacos.
Arriba, arriba.
Mace, it's to you.
All right. John, somebody has stolen the head of the mascot of the minor league baseball team, the Nashville Lookouts.
Okay.
The mascot's name is Louie. Louie Lookout. Okay. And here is how police describe this. If you see Louie or have any information about the suspect or suspects, please call ChatPD at, and there's a phone number, callers will remain anonymous. Louie's head looks like a big red baseball cap with a black brim for a nose. That is their description. Now, we certainly hope that Louie is reunited with his team in time for the May 4th opening day. But in the meantime, what do you think of mascots in general? What is the best mascot? What is the worst mascot in sports?
Okay, so
I know the best mascot.
I'm in favor of mascots generally.
Yeah, they're good.
Unless you're a heritage team, like I don't want the Lakers to have a mascot.
No, that would be ridiculous.
They're too. The Lakers are.
I don't want the Dodgers to have a mascot.
Right, but Michael, I'll see if you agree with me.
Yeah.
For my money. There are a couple of close seconds. Rocky in Denver is maybe second. The bear in Utah is good, but the Phoenix Gorilla is the best.
No,
mascot.
You know what? No, not anymore. The original Phoenix Gorilla, by the way, George, who was a Mexican guy, was good.
He was
funny.
All roads lead to Mexico.
Yeah, the current gorilla isn't funny like that guy was. But you're right. Rocky in Denver is hilarious. I love Rocky.
Yeah I really like. The gorilla in Phoenix.
But he's not funny anymore.
I was at a Phoenix game and saw him dunk, and it's a crazy cool
scene. I will
scene.
Say this. The San Diego Chicken, which started as a radio promotion with a station in there called KGB, he was the KGB chicken. It was a guy named Ted Gianoulis.
Yep.
And he was great. And I'm surprised nobody's stolen his act.
Is he still around?
I don't think he does the chicken bit anymore, but he was Mace for probably 10 years, was getting hired around minor league baseball to go to different parks.
Oh,
I think he was getting like $5 or $6 grand a pop.
I'm telling you, when we had the San Diego Chicken at the Toledo Mud Hens ballpark at Ned Skelton Stadium, it sold out every single time. They brought him in twice a year. He was such a huge fan favorite. All right, worst mascot in sports.
I think the guy in Minnesota, Crunch, the wolf for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's not funny. He just walks around in a funny-looking fat suit. It's horrible.
San Francisco, the Giants, once had, because you know you can get crabs on the wharf there, had the San Francisco crab. And even the fans hated the crab. Even the Giants
Nobody
fans
wants crabs.
Would – right. Nobody wants to be a crab, and they would throw trash at the crab, and finally the Giants got rid of it. That is the worst.
I think you're missing.
That or Chuck the Duck.
Chuck the Duck is the worst.
Oh,
Come on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's not organic. It has nothing to do with Clippers. It's a goofy-looking costume. Yeah. It's really forced. Chuck the Duck is the worst.
Yeah.
Hands down. All right, coming up next for you, Michael's going to hang out. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is going to stop in. We'll dig back into the Russell Westbrook conversation, which is really interesting. Plus,
and, Michael, I want to know what you think is a reasonable expectation for Andre Drummond tonight.
Good question.
Yes.
Good question. That's all coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey! What's going on? It's the day after UCLA punches its ticket for the NCAA Final Four in Indianapolis. They will face the Gonzaga Zags on Saturday night. Baseball season starts tomorrow. Excited about that. Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw on the mound tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, tonight, The Lakers will have Andre Drummond on the floor for the very first time. It will be against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, ever since I learned how to say Antetokounmpo, I like saying it a lot because I think it makes me sound smart.
Antetokounmpo, I can't, still can't say it. By the way, Mason, Ireland, weren't you wrong about UCLA not having any pro players? Juzang's going to be a pro, right?
What, Michael? I don't know. He can shoot.
Yeah, well, there you go. That is the number one thing in the NBA these days. And didn't you guys say the kid from Santa Margarita's better than Clay, so he should be a pro?
No,
the kid he broke all of Clay's records in high school, but he played 4 years, and he played varsity 4 years. Did Clay play varsity 4 years?
No, two years.
All right, so that's why.
Yeah.
That's Jake Kyman. But even Jake said, he goes, I'm not as good as Clay. I just had a better high school career than him because I played varsity for 4 years.
Oh, I didn't know you was a sophomore. Freshman, how he was on the team.
He was that good.
Yeah.
But, hey, Michael, what's a reasonable expectation for Drummond tonight with no LeBron and no AD to help
him? Well, he's going to play 30 minutes, I would assume, even though you got Trez behind him. So the way he plays, he's such a beast in the paint, Mace. I'm expecting 17 and 12 from him tonight in about three or four blocks. He's that good.
Nice.
He's a beast. He really is. He's just a rebounding machine. And when you have him, LeBron, and AD out there fully healthy, I don't know how the other team's going to get a rebound.
Well, yeah, they have Giannis and Brooke Lopez. They have a lot of size,
too. I'm talking about in the playoffs when those three are healthy. I don't know who – you know one's going to out-rebound the Lakers.
Okay, hang on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the show. Hit it, Jorge.
Yes!
One of the stars of the upcoming Obi-Wan series for Disney Plus, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here. O'Shea, how you doing, man? Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I'm super excited. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys. I've been trying to keep this from you for weeks now. I couldn't say anything.
Well,
NBAs, Shay, man.
Yeah, well, Shay, we're really, really excited for you. And
your projects just don't miss, man. This one won't either.
Yeah, that's so right up your alley. It's going to be great. All right, so you're the biggest Laker fan we know. Andre Drummond. What are you – you think it's a big deal? You think it's less than a big deal? What do you think about Drummond being added to the Laker roster?
I mean, it's got to be a big deal. You're adding the best rebounder in the league to Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I feel like this is going to be a piece we didn't know how great it was until, you know, we get some games under our belt. But this is huge. It's Andre Drummond. If he went anywhere else, it'd be the end of the world.
You know, Shay, the Lakers are obviously struggling. Do you think this is enough to sort of – I mean, they're coming off a two-game winning streak against two bad teams. I should be fair there. But they're going into a really tough stretch. What are your expectations on a nightly basis when you watch this team?
Well, it's you got to get healthy.
Yeah.
The games have been, pretty hard to watch. not even going to sugarcoat it. We got to get these shots down. Kuzma, I need you to be a little bit more on. He's a little on and off. I don't know if it's the blonde hair, but, you know, something's got to click a little bit. I think once we are able to secure more second chance points with, you know, obviously with Andre Drummond, and then, it'll give the guys a little bit more confidence. We'll be able to attack a little bit more. But this is definitely going to be a much-needed Band-Aid on an open wound with LeBron and AD still out.
Okay, Shay, I've been saying that Laker fans shouldn't worry if the Lakers drop in the standings. The schedule is about to get really hard, and they're not going to have LeBron or AD. I think even if they slide to the play-in tournament, that they would win it and just come out of it and be fine. But what do you think? Do you think the Lakers slide? They're fourth. Do you think they slide back into the play-in tournament? Do they hold water at four? What's your hope as a fan?
I don't want to go into any type of play-in tournament, any type of way that things could be taken away from this team. You don't want to slide too far down. But
They're 5 games ahead of the 7th spot, which is Dallas. That's who they got to stay ahead of. If they get in that top 6, then they don't have to play in the play-in tournament.
We got to stay the course. We have to make sure that we stay in a position where we could just focus strictly on making it into the playoffs. And once we make it into the playoffs, this is going to be – nobody wants to see this Lakers squad. The size and once we start getting these shots down. I need you, Wesley Matthews. I really need you, Wesley Matthews. But once we start knocking these down, I feel like we're headed to 18. You know, everybody's trying to gear up for the battle of the superpowers in the finals. Jeannie Buss already said, bring it on. So I'm ready to go.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. This is a little bit offbeat, but we debated it much of the week. And the answer is technically out there, and I don't want anybody to spoil it. But you were in the last Godzilla movie. Kong is facing Godzilla in a brand new movie that is out today. Have you seen it, first of all?
No, because I'm mad I'm not in it.
Who do you like in a fight between Kong and Godzilla?
This makes no sense, O'Shea, because think about it. Godzilla could burn Kong up. He breathes fire.
Michael, Godzilla in four, dude. It never made sense to me.
Right.
It never made sense to me. The fight should really be about 5 minutes long. But,
right. But
people,
Shane, let me tell you what we're getting.
The big gorilla.
Let me tell you what we're getting on social media. That the gorilla is a primate, so he would be smarter. People are accusing Godzilla of having a pea brain and no mobility. They compare him to Roy Hibbert and say he has no mobility in the paint. And they say that basically Kong would be the modern day LeBron. He would have so much mobility and smarts.
Oh, wait a minute. You let me put a flamethrower in front of LeBron, see if he can run away from fire.
Well, what if he got a fireproof shield, Michael?
Oh, please. No such thing.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I don't know, those people have their own opinion, but all I know is Godzilla has literally saved the world twice.
Yes.
When has King Kong saved any of us?
And isn't Godzilla a lot bigger than Kong?
Yeah, they souped him up. They souped
Kong
up.
Yeah, that's true. I think Kong could be on steroids, on performance-enhancing drugs. By the way, Lindsay's nephew, who is 8, says that Kong is nothing but a big, strong monkey. So there you go.
Straight up.
That's right.
All right, so Shay, next, this is a really tough – I'm going to ask you a really, really tough question. You ready?
Okay.
Tell us what you can about Obi-Wan.
Wait a minute. Are you allowed to say anything?
Man.
Don't they lock you down in like the Lucasfilm is famous for non-disclosures. You didn't have to sign one?
Dude, what do you mean, man? We are talking over ESPN Airways. The mouse is listening, dude. Yes, I signed an NDA.
Yeah, you're actually on a Disney radio station.
Mason, you tried to get O'Shea kicked out of the biggest franchise he's been in?
Sometimes there's something you can say. Like, can you say the name of the character you're playing?
Well, it's great talking to you guys. I hope you guys have a great day.
Wow. Hey, O'Shea, true story. I have a friend, and I will not even tell you his name, but my friend is one of two people in the world who is authorized to play Darth Vader because my friend is big. He says, if Darth Vader has to go on the Tonight Show, or if Darth Vader goes, and the number one rule is he cannot speak. He cannot say anything when he's got that Darth Vader suit on because they don't want to ruin the bit. If he wants a glass of water, he has to walk over and find it himself. He cannot talk. He cannot tell people where he's going. He cannot give his real name. He has signed away all of his personal rights. And my guess is you have, too, in order to get this role.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've already just really sunk it in. This is the biggest thing that I've ever had, and yeah, I don't want to do anything to mess it up.
Yeah, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. I was just goofing. Uh-uh. I'm not expecting
can you answer this? I think you can answer this. Have they begun filming it yet?
No. We haven't started yet. But
okay, so it's down the road.
I'm excited to see the set and the technology, though.
Cool. Awesome.
What does O'Shea think about the social media beef?
Well, why don't you ask him?
Yeah, going on between KD and Rappaport. Your boy Rappaport.
Michael, O'Shea, are you familiar with it that Michael Rappaport and KD have been going at this really intense social media beef?
Yeah, man. They're both my guys. Michael Rappaport, obviously the big three. Kevin Durant, I just got back from Swagger. So, grown men being grown men. But, I hope it dies down. You never want to
see anything blown up into the public like that. But Kevin Durant plays for the Nets, so who cares?
Yeah. That series, by the way, Swagger, you're back from Virginia and that's all done?
Yeah, I'm all done. I'm finally back from Virginia. They sent the SOS, and I'm soaking up this California sun, man. It's all
hey,
over.
Hey, Shay, any idea when Swagger, and by the way, this is a Kevin Durant-produced story about how screwed up youth basketball is in the world. Shay, any idea when we might see that? Is it due to come out in 2021 or later?
It definitely has to be later. I think sometime next year. I would think that's how, you know, movies usually work. But you know, if the Lakers beat the Nets in the championship, Kevin Durant might just shut it down, so I don't get any more seasons.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, Shay. Thanks a lot for checking. Glad you're back in LA, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. Laker fans, let's go. Andre Drummond, do your thing. And may the force be with you.
Excellent. Hey, there you go.
Lakers in five, Shay. Lakers in five.
Lakers in five, John.
No matter
awesome,
what.
Awesome, man.
Huh?
Thanks for checking in. There's O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah,
that's a big deal to get
by the way,
one of those Disney series.
Michael, that is Shea's answer to any potential playoff matchup I ever ask him about. Hey, Shay, Lakers run into the Clippers in the first round of the playoff. What happens? Lakers in five.
Why does he say Lakers in four? Sweep.
Because he always is giving just the slightest bit of room for there
error.
To be a slip up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we win a lot of them in five last year?
Yeah, just all of them, right? Except for
did we win all of them by five?
I think so. I think it went 4-1 in all of them.
No, the finals was six.
Finals was six. Yeah. All the rest of them were 4-1. All right. Hey, I don't know if you've heard about this, Michael Thompson.
What's that?
But John Ireland is playing Travis Rogers in a rematch. This is Ireland versus Travis for the rematch. Last time ended in a tie.
In what?
In golf. Michael, I have yet to take Travis down. He beat me in the first two.
Wow.
Last time we couldn't settle it even after two playoff holes, so the rematch is this Saturday.
Nice. I didn't realize Travis was that good.
Oh, he's really good. He's
yeah. Kicking off Masters Week. It happens this Saturday at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. It starts at 9 a.m. You can watch hole-by-hole coverage on our at ESPN Los Angeles social media accounts. The event is not open to the public. Don't show up. I know there's a huge mob of people that want to see John Ireland.
The gallery. Call it
the
gallery.
But please do not do that. No gallery. And thank you to our partners at Coors Light, Roger Dunn Golf Shops, and Black Gold Golf Club. That'll be fun. I will be watching on my Periscope, John.
What's the stakes here besides pride?
Beer.
Just beer?
Yeah.
Beer.
You don't
like
wear someone's shirt or something like that?
No. Well, it's sponsored. And let's just say that there's a lot of beer available on the course, Michael.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the sponsors is Coors Light.
Nice.
There you have it. All right. Coming up next for you, baseball season's tomorrow. I thought eve of baseball season. Who is going to win the National League MVP, Cy Young Award, American League MVP, Cy Young Award? We'll do that coming up next. Plus, I want to circle back to the Westbrook conversation because the Westbrook story is fascinating to me. And there is really a divide between the way I think we view it. And on top of everything else, dogs behaving badly. All coming up for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I got that.
Yeah, where's it from?
Where do I get most of my sayings?
Chick Hearn.
There it is.
Did Chick Hearn say that?
That's what Chick used to say. Can't throw a pea in the ocean.
Nice.
What about can't hit the ocean if you fell out of a boat?
That's Tommy the Sword.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, so let me see. Where do we go here? I want to start with this. Russell Westbrook, and we did this a little bit earlier, but I think we should play it again so that it sets it up, the conversation. Russell Westbrook was criticized by Stephen A. Smith for not being a championship player after he went 35-20-7, something like that.
No, 35-20-25. He had 20 assists.
Right, 35-14-20. That's what it was, which is, you know, a monumental night. Stephen A. was critical of him, saying, I don't care. You know, you got to win a championship. Here's what Russell Westbrook said about winning a championship.
A championship don't change my life. I'm happy. I was a champion once I made it to the NBA. Like, I grew up in the streets. I'm a champion. Like, nobody can. I don't have to be an NBA champion. I know many people that got NBA champions that's miserable. Have done nothing for their community. Have done nothing for the people in our world. And for me, man, my legacy, like I mentioned before, is not based on what I do on this court. I'm not going to play basketball my whole life. My legacy is what I do off the floor, how many people I'm able to impact and inspire along my journey, man. And that's how I keep my head down and keep it pushing, because it's very important that you don't let the negativity seep in, because it's been like that my whole career. Honestly, there's no other player that kind of takes the heat that I take constantly. But I take it as positive, because obviously I'm doing something right if people are talking about me.
Yeah, he's making an argument about character. He's making an argument about who he is as a person, what he does in the world, where he's come from, the fact that he even made it as far as he made it, the fact that he is an NBA player, all that's the fact that he gives back to the community, that he uses his platform for good causes. All that has nothing to do with the original Stephen A. take, which was, hey, never won a championship.
Yeah, I was surprised that Russ went where he went, just because Stephen A. never attacked him personally. He never accused him of not doing all the things that Russ pointed out that he does. He just, you know, our job, Mace, is we very rarely get personal on this show. I mean,
correct.
Our job is to watch sports and talk about them.
Yes.
And that's what Stephen A. was doing. And, you know, Russ does tons of charity work. You know, he's very comparable to Tiger or LeBron in what he does for kids. He made the largest single donation to UCLA in athlete history.
Wow.
He gave him like $10 million. He's opened up a school for kids. He went to Losinger, which is right down the road from where I live here. Russ has done more off the court with his brand than almost anybody. But that's not what Stephen A. criticized him about. He was just talking about the fact that Russ hasn't won a championship because he shoots too many threes. And so I think he turned it into an apples versus oranges debate, which was weird.
What Stephen A. was saying was the numbers mean nothing. I mean, obviously they're impressive, but they don't mean much without a championship to go along with them.
That's well, what Michael, you always measure... say whenever I point out that somebody, I go, hey, Michael, Trae Young scored 47 points tonight. And Michael always says to me right after I say that, oh, yeah, how efficient was he?
Yeah.
Did he take 47 shots? Because
right.
If he did, they probably lost.
Yeah. And
so
it's not impressive.
That's part of the debate, too.
Yeah, and Russell, I mean, Russell's a historic figure, a historic player, averaging triple-doubles like Oscar Robertson. But every time they talk about Russell Westbrook, you'll hear a but next to his legacy because he didn't win a championship or hasn't won one yet.
And I mean, what he's making is an argument about life.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to affect my life, what I do day to day, what the good works I do, the game that I play. I play hard. I play as hard as anybody in this league, all that stuff.
But he'll be frustrated, though. Can you imagine?
Of course.
As great as Kobe was, if Kobe didn't win a ring, that would eat at him, you know, it wouldn't lessen his legacy or his greatness.
Hey, Michael, let me ask you something that came up on our show the other day when you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, I wish that. He's a good-looking man.
Aaron Rodgers is going to host Jeopardy for 2 weeks starting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It starts Monday, April 5th, and then he'll do the next 10 shows, 5 next week and 5 the week after that. That job, when Alex Trebek had it, pays about $20 million. If Jeopardy came to him and said, Aaron, we want you to be the new host of Jeopardy. We'll pay you $20 million a year.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, but see, he could do that job until he was an old guy,
right,
like Alex Trebek did. The Packers pay him like $30 million, and he's only probably got 2 years left. Which job would you take?
If I was Aaron, depends on where his passion is. If he still has a passion to play and win and chase another Super Bowl, stick with that. They may hire another host, and that host might not work out in a year or two or whatever, but Aaron, if he still wants to play and has a passion to play the game, stick with that as long as you possibly can.
Give me that Jeopardy money.
You ready? You take
give
that, Mace?
Give me that Jeopardy rest of your life money.
Even if you're – well, he's already set for life, Mace. My goodness, man's
worth
a few hundred million.
Okay, Michael, if I tell you this, it might change your mind. Do you know how they shoot Jeopardy, the schedule?
Yeah, I know. Well,
they come
a couple
in on
days.
They come in on Saturday,
right,
and they shoot 5 shows in the morning. And then they
wouldn't
shoot 5 more
it.
In the afternoon, and you come back 2 weeks later. You work 2 days a month.
It wouldn't be worth it, Ireland and Mace, if he still has that itch to play, and if he still misses it when he watches football on Sunday, and he'd be thinking, I should be out there. I could do better than a Jordan Love. What am I doing here? Why aren't I doing that? Because that's where my passion is. That's where my work is, because he still has a lot of football left in him. I mean, Tom Brady's going to 43, 44. Aaron Rodgers could do the same thing. And you, Mason, you got to stop chasing the money and chase what's in your heart. That's what matters most.
You really don't think I chase what's in my heart?
No, you'd abandon Ireland before this show is over if someone throws a couple $1 million at your feet right now.
Yeah, I don't. I think I do follow my heart.
You do, huh?
Would
you
just I follow my passion. Or what they say? What do they say? Follow your bliss. I mean, when I was 15 years old, I wanted to be on the radio for a living.
But don't you think
that's what I've done ever since?
You were affected by the one time you didn't. You went to New York for the money. And the experience was not what you thought
right.
it would be. And now I think that would shape you making a different decision in the future.
Yeah, and if Aaron Rodgers still loves playing and competing, stick with that as long as your body allows you to.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. I promised NL, AL, MVP, Cy Young. We'll do that at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're here for that. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With the highest rated part of the Mason and Ireland show, Lindsay is standing by with Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got for us?
Thank you, Mace. Well, last night, a new show premiered called Pooch Perfect.
Yes.
And while many enjoyed the dog grooming competition show, there was a large backlash from viewers on Twitter who thought it was abusive. The new series is produced and hosted by Rebel Wilson, who comes from a long line of dog aficionados. She claims to be a junior champion dog shower herself.
Mm-hmm.
The premiere showed amazing grooming transformation, but many viewers on social media questioned how safe it was for the dogs because the majority of them are heavily groomed and often dyed to match their design theme. Do you think that the Pooch Perfect show will get the axe due to the backlash? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, it won its time slot last night. I happened to Google that. So it's on ABC. It won its time slot with its premiere. I personally think this is a terrible thing to do to a dog, to dye a dog red or to dye a dog blue or to give it a goofy haircut. I don't know how that's good for a dog. So I think it is, I won't say it's animal abuse, but I think it is, it's the dogs have to be really embarrassed to be part of this too. The dogs are embarrassed. It's like, why did you dye me blue, owner?
You think they could tell?
If it gets ratings, Lindsay, it will probably continue unless there's some evidence that the dogs are permanently hurt. You know, if it doesn't permanently hurt the dogs, I just know how TV works. If they find like, you know that TV show Wipeout? People are breaking legs and ankles, and they're signing waivers to allow it. And because it gets ratings, they just keep doing
Excuse me. This is Mason's dog, Sophie. I would like to say... That is the most awful thing. If you ever dye me blue, I will walk out of this house and I will never come back.
Is that how Sophie talks?
That is how Sophie
Sophie's
talks.
French. Yes.
She's French. Huh?
Yes. All right, Lindsay, what do you got next?
Give her a voice like Carol Channing.
She does.
Wait, what does Fredo think? What does Fredo think about it?
I don't want a haircut. Please do not do this to me.
If Reagan had a voice, how would he sound of Ireland?
Reagan has no voice. All Reagan does is bark. All nonstop. It's
but if he could talk, who would he talk like?
I don't know.
What about Rocco? How does Rocco talk?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
There you go. Everyone, you got a dog voice.
That's right.
Where's my food?
You sound like that. A dog voice.
Yeah. Who's that guy with the raspy voice? What's his name? Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I like Rocco's voice.
Yeah,
they should all get together sometime.
Wouldn't Reagan sound like Larry David, Ireland, just complain about everything?
Well, Reagan's a girl.
Oh, girl, okay. Yeah, what's your sound like, Susie?
Susie Essman!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Reagan has a
you effing fat F.
Hey, give me my food.
Get me the F out of here and take me on an effing walk.
That's right.
All right, what's next, Lynch?
All right, I saw this on one of my favorite Twitter accounts, Strange Facts. It says, when male and female anglerfish mate, their bodies fuse. The male is now useless. His now useless body parts like eyes and fins wither away, and he lives the rest of his life attached to her, sharing food and providing her with babies. If you knew that your eyeballs and arms would fall off if you mated with somebody, would you go your entire life without mating? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, as long as one part don't fall off.
Yeah, I mean, the most important part is intact.
Yeah.
You'd only lose your eyeballs and your arms, as far as I know.
So you lose your eyeballs and your arms, yeah, but you're able to still mate.
I think I'd be asexual.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would probably become a priest.
I would
hang on to my eyeballs and my arms.
Yeah,
like not even Kate Beckinsale would be worth that. Yeah, no.
But Michael says otherwise.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
Michael, you'd be willing to give up your eyeballs and your arms?
Yeah.
Well, yep. Interesting.
Yeah. You can't tell. Can you tell that joke on the air? What Josh just said?
No,
you can't
No. Michael.
Come on,
Michael.
I'll move on to the next one.
Yes. That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. 6 days after putting it up for auction on the popular NFT marketplace OpenSea, Croatian tennis player Oleksandra Olenkova sold exclusive lifetime ownership of part of her right arm for more than $5,000.
Now, is this an NFT, part of her right arm?
No, let me finish. She ranks 30th in the International Tennis Federation World Tour and 650th in the Women's Tennis Association. And she specifically sold the section of skin between her elbow and shoulder on the inside of her right arm, where the owner can commission a tattoo or temporary body art. So it's actually her, because, you know, NFT could mean a lot of things. It's a non-fungible
right.
token.
No, she's basically selling advertising space on her arm.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
And she said, "I will bring your art object or message to every tennis court I play. As I'm 20 years old and only my sports career is on the rise, I believe it's going to be the biggest tennis location in the world." If you were, I think there was a little few things lost in translation there. If you were the auction winner, would you get her tattoo to your brand or name or whatever now? Or would you leave the space blank and hope that she becomes a massive tennis star and then sell the blank space for a profit?
Well, you could also get a tattoo, get your product in there, and then have it removed. You can remove tattoos, and then you could just put a new message on there.
Well, let's go to our resident tennis authority. Is this person someone, Michael?
No, but it's a great idea for the ladies in the top 10 who are on TV, all like Naomi Osaka and those kind of girls. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Although this happened in boxing and in the MMA, and then they basically regulated it. They said you can't sell tattoo space on your back during big fights.
What? They can regulate that?
Yeah. Well, they did. And in, by the way, like where LeBron went to high school in Ohio, you may know this, Lindsay, they make the kids cover the tattoos up. You know, like LeBron played in a league where he went to St. Vincent, St. Mary's. In the league he played in, a lot of those kids had tattoos, and it was a rule you had to wear tattoo covers to play in that league.
Interesting.
So it's not a guarantee if you buy this tattoo that it won't be regulated.
Although they'll
out.
Never make a tennis player covered up, will they?
No,
I don't know.
Not at all. They're like walking billboards.
No, they're not. Michael, tennis players are not. They're regulated by what they can wear on their clothes.
No, that's
not
true.
Auto racing can wear anything.
No, you can tennis as long as it's not offensive. You can sell anything.
What are you talking about? Why wouldn't Serena have be a walking billboard if that was true?
Well, maybe she doesn't need to, but you're right. She can't put whatever clothing stuff she wants on some product on her shirt. Sure, she can if she wants to.
She kind of is for Nike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she kind of is for Nike. You're right. You're right. All right, is that it, Linz, or you got one more?
I do have one more.
Good.
Staying in the same light of weird stories today, Utah Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill on Tuesday which would require porn filters on all cell phones and tablets sold in the state. Supporters of the proposal call these restrictions a necessary step in helping parents prevent their kids from accessing explicit content online, especially at a time where, you know, kids are more likely to have their own phones. Critics argue that the measure strips people of their First Amendment right to free speech. The bill's sponsor said parents do have the option to take the filter off their kid's phone. Do you think there should be a law that requires parental locks on sexually explicit material? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe left and say they should do it in a reverse way, Lindsay. They should put the filter in the phone and allow parents to turn it on if they want to protect it. I would not sell the phone with the filter already in place.
I truly don't know how parents do it. Like, when I was a kid, I found my dad's magazines, and that was a gigantic deal, right? Now, with your phone, you can wind up on Pornhub like that, bam, and you're watching actual porn. Like, I don't know. I'm in favor of this because I don't know how else parents can kind of look out for their kids
until a certain age. Apps for that. I know, like, my sister on my – she can monitor everything that my nephew is looking at. She can look at his search history, even if he tries to delete it, all that kind of stuff. They have, like, YouTube Kids, so it can
if your nephew looked at porn, your sister would know?
I would not want to think about something like that, but he wouldn't be able to.
Why? Because a filter would block it?
Yeah, there's like an app that you're not – you're blocking certain words and content.
Mace, you're barking at the right tree. I'll tell you one thing that I hear from the parents of girls in high school is that girls are growing up way too fast. Mm-hmm. For example, like things that guys – you know, that guys and girls would first do in college – because all these people have access to exactly what you're talking about, it's happening when they're 11, 12, 13 years old.
Wait a minute. You guys just said a few weeks ago there's nothing wrong with WAP.
There's nothing wrong with WAP,
For young kids, I was talking about.
It's about female empowerment, Michael.
But Michael, you don't have to listen to WAP if you don't want to.
Sure, like kids don't listen to it.
Bring a bucket and a mop.
No, but that's my point. A free
Stop
society, you put anything into the marketplace, and then people can decide whether or not it's valuable.
Yeah, but you think 12 and 13-year-olds, you know, making good choices there, Ireland?
No, but parents can, like Lindsay says, parents can put filters on the phones to keep them from looking at that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, more power to them.
Stop. What do you have against Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion?
For adults, it's fine. I'm just worried about the kids.
Your boys have probably met Megan Thee Stallion.
Who?
She's the other one on the WAP song Cardi B.
I saw that clip from the Emmys. Was she the other one?
Yeah. From the Grammys. Oh, yeah, she was
goodness.
The other one.
That was
Cardi
on TV?
B and Megan Thee Stallion.
That was on TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on actual TV.
Edith Bunker must have fainted.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Michael, were you surprised last night?
Edith Bunker faded 50 years ago.
Were you surprised that UCLA pulled that off against Michigan last night?
Yeah, well no, because, you know, like I told you, all these teams, 1 seed, 11th seed, they're kind of even because there are no superstars in college basketball anymore. So everybody's kind of even, but I was happy for UCLA last night.
Okay, so Kentucky was 9-16 this year.
Yeah.
And Johnny Juzang couldn't get off the bench?
How about that? Well, look what he did to Devin Booker. He didn't start him at Kentucky.
Yeah, very weird.
Right. All right, tell you what, coming up next for you, I promised this earlier, we'll do it again. NL, AL, Cy Young, and MVP award predictions. The Dodgers tomorrow are at the Rockies tomorrow afternoon. It is opening day, and Clayton Kershaw is on the mound versus Germán Márquez.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Crenshaw's pitching tomorrow. Coming up next for you, we'll give you our predictions, plus dogs behaving badly. That's coming up soon. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.